see it's a life of personal experiences. We see this by the words "I have" throughout the psalm, expressing his experiences. We saw last week that it's the experience of having our hearts stirred for God, which means our hearts are in tune with God. Again, this is not just an occasional thing. This is to be our lifestyle. And that brings us to verse 22, Psalm 119, verse 22. The last part of that verse, "For I have kept thy testimonies." I have kept thy testimonies. Verse 168, "I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies." He is saying, "I have held unto the Word of God. I have remained in the Word of God. I have continued in the Word of God." What he's declaring is that this has been his overall experience, a personal compliance and obedience to God's Word. This does not mean that he ever fully achieved perfect obedience. It does not mean that he ever attained such. We know from Philippians that Paul had not attained, and no man has in this life. So we know this from reading the 119th Psalm, that the psalmist had times of failure. He's not saying, "I have always kept thy precepts without fail." But what he is saying is that that has been his overall life experience, is that he has, in compliance with the Word of God, it was his life's practice to conform his life to the principles laid down in God's Word. And that is to be our life experience. That is to be our life. Our life is to be lived in practicing the principles laid down in God's Word. So he says, "I have kept thy precepts." Those words express both the practice, but it also expresses the desire to live one's life in accord with God's Word. That ought to be the desire of every child of God. That no matter what aspect of their life we're speaking of, that it is their desire to be in accord, to be in compliance, to be in conformity with God's Word. That ought to be our desire. It ought not only be our desire, it ought to be our practice. It ought to be what we strive for. And again, in whatever realm of life we're talking about, it doesn't really matter. This is to be our desire. This is to be our practice. Now, the importance and the duty of keeping God's commandments, or living life in accord with God's Word, was stressed to the Israelites very early on. And it has its basis in the person of God. Why are we to conform to God's Word? Because of who He is. That's the basis of obeying God. Because God is God, we are to obey Him. We are to seek to be in conformity with whatever He says. Now notice in Leviticus chapter 18, again, God stresses this early on, this obedience to the children of Israel, and stresses that it has its basis in the person of God. Of course, when God delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses, same thing. They were immediately reminded of the person of God. They were immediately reminded of what God did for them in their redemption. But in Leviticus 18 and verse 4, "Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." That is a declaration of who He is. I am the Lord. It is also a declaration of a relationship. Your God. I am the Lord, your God. That's the only reason you need to obey God. So this applies to lost people as well. He's God. So everyone is to obey. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 8, "And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord, which sanctify you," which set you apart. Leviticus 22, verse 31. Leviticus 22, verse 31. "Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord." So God is the incentive, and God is the authority for living life in accord with God's principles. We need no other incentive than the person of God. That's enough. We need no other authority. He, of course, is all authority. They were told, the Israelites, that the blessings of God would be richly upon them if they kept the commandments of God. Notice in the book of Leviticus 26, we're going to look at a lot of verses tonight, but in Leviticus 26, verse 3, he said, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them," and then verse 4, "then." So there's an order here. If ye live, if ye walk in my statutes, in other words, if ye live according to my statutes, you keep my commandments, you do them, you live a life of obedience, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit. So there's fruitfulness. That's one of the results of obedience. Verse 6, he stresses the fruitfulness again in verse 5, but in verse 6 he says, "And I will give peace in the land." There will be peace. Obedience, peace. Even if there's not peace with people or nations, there will be peace in the heart, which is even more important. "And ye shall lie down." That's rest. There's rest in obeying God. One of the reasons there's so much unrest is disobedience to God. There's rest in obedience to the Lord. "None shall make you afraid." That is, they would be fearless. They would be free from fear. One of the reasons for so much fear today, again, is disobedience. "I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land." That speaks of deliverance. I will deliver you. You obey, I will deliver. Verse 7 and verse 8. "And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." That's victory. God says, "I'll give you victory." But now he says much more than that. He says, "Against all odds, I will give you victory. I will give you power to overcome." Again, it all goes back to verse 3. Verse 9, "For I will have respect unto you, That's God's favor. God would show favor to them. In verse 10, and you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. God would provide. There would be provision for them. In verse 12, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. That, of course, is fellowship. All of this comes with obedience to God. Now, part of the blessed life is to live our lives in conformity with God. And living our lives in conformity with God, we find ourselves guided by God. We find peace, we find rest, we find fearlessness, we find God's deliverance, we find that we have power to overcome. That is power to overcome our own flesh, power to overcome enemies, power to overcome all things. We have the favor of God in our life. We have the provision of God in our life. We have fellowship with God. Now, that's a blessed life. But it goes back to, again, this experience of obedience. And then in verse 14, he puts forth an alternative. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments. Now notice that. If ye will not, that's a deliberate act. You will not do something, that's deliberate. Disobedience is deliberate. He says, and if ye will not do all these commandments, he's not just picking one or two. Do all these commandments. If ye do not do them, he then follows that with some warnings. What would happen? He says in verse 15, and if ye shall despise my statutes, that is, think lightly of them. And of course, in all disobedience, that there's a thinking lightly the law of God. If your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. Well, God says, I'll do something to you. I will even appoint over you terror, fear. I will appoint fear in your life. He goes on, he says, consumption. That's decline. You will decline more and more and more. One disobedience leads to the next, and the next, and the next. And each act brings more and more decline. That's true nationally, that's true individually, that's true in all aspects. He goes on and he says, in the burning egg that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Fruitless work. Going in circles. Getting absolutely nothing accomplished. I will set my face against you. That's a very serious thing for God to set his face against anyone. And you shall be slain before your enemies. That's defeat. They that hate you shall reign over you. That's bondage. And you shall flee when none pursueth you. That's fearful imaginations. They're afraid of things that don't even exist. You'll run and there's nobody even chasing you. Because you imagine, disobedience feeds the imagination. In verse 19, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass. Once again, that means famine. It also means unanswered prayer. Verse 22, I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. It would result in tremendous loss. And you can continue on there in Leviticus 26 all the way through verse 39. But God says, I set two ways before you. There's a way of obedience, and that brings blessing. There's a way of disobedience, and that brings the curse of God in your life. Again, the blessed life is a life living in conformity to the Word of God. Doesn't mean that we never fail. Doesn't mean that we never fall or stumble. It means that overall it is our practice to be conformed to the Word of God. So early on, God establishes the importance of obedience as far as the Israelites were concerned. Now, the book of Deuteronomy simply means second law. It is God repeating himself. And the reason he's repeating himself is the children of Israel are about to go into Canaan. And he says, what held true before Canaan holds true in Canaan. Canaan, of course, is a land of blessing. It's a picture of the blessed life. And if they wanted to continue in Canaan, if they were to enjoy Canaan, God reminds them over and over and over and over again to obey Him, to obey God's Word, to comply with the Word of God. Notice if we go to the book of Deuteronomy, again we'll read several verses, but in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. That is, it stands as written. It stands as written. You need to do nothing with it as far as making any changes. That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I, reminding them of His authority, reminding them of His person, which I command you. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. It is wise to obey God. It shows that one has an understanding, a spiritual understanding. Disobedience is ignorance. Disobedience is foolishness. Disobedience shows a lack of understanding. God says, if you obey me, this is your wisdom. This is your understanding. Notice verse 40. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee. That it may go well with thee. That doesn't mean that you'll never have bad things happen. But what it does mean is even when bad things happen, it's well with your soul. It'll go well with thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth. Now that must be kept in the context of Deuteronomy. What's he talking about? Is he talking about we can lengthen our life? I don't think so. He's talking about Canaan. That's what Deuteronomy is about. It's about living in Canaan. You will prolong your days in Canaan. You want to prolong your days in spiritual Canaan? Obey God. You want to not enjoy Canaan at all? Disobey God. If you want to prolong your days in Canaan, then obey God, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. We are to learn God's laws. It ought to be of deep interest to us. What does God want of me? That ought to interest us. That ought to greatly concern us. It ought to concern us enough that we want to learn everything that God wants us to do. And then once we learn them, we want to keep them. That is, we want to hold unto them. Never let go. And then, of course, do them. That is, you live what God says. Verse 29 of chapter 5. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Now notice here that there was a heart in them. That gets us back to that God-stirred heart. That God would stir our hearts, that they would fear me, that they would reverence me, and keep all my commandments always. Once again, we don't pick and choose the commandments, nor do we pick and choose the time. It is always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. Verse 2 of chapter 6. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. 2. That is, this speaks of the degree of this fear. It leads us to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. Thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Once again, in context would be the land of Canaan. Verse 17, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. That tells us how we're to keep them. Diligently, earnestly, fervently. And his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Chapter 7, verse 11. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Chapter 8, verse 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Keep his commandments. Hold unto them. Keep them in view. Keep them in memory. The reason that you might walk in his ways, when he says keep them, it means do not be ignorant concerning what God wants you to do. You must know what God wants you to do so you can walk in his ways. And the way to continue to do so, of course, it once again is that fear. And again, it's not a fear, it's not a slavish fear. It's a fear of awe. It's a fear of reverence. Chapter 10, verse 13. Chapter 10, verse 13. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. For thy good. Isn't it amazing how many people get angry when you talk about obedience? They're fine as long as they're not guilty. But as soon as you get into an area they're guilty of, they're angry. And you're out to get them. You're their enemy. But this is for thy good. Obedience is always for our good. Obedience will never hurt us. Never. Obedience will never rob us. We don't lose by obeying God. The devil would make you think that way. But you don't lose by obeying God. Obedience is always right, and obedience is always good. It's always the best thing to do. Obey God. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is, obey God. That's the best thing. That's the best thing to do. That's the best thing for you. Obey God. And anyone who tells you to obey God is a friend. And anybody who tells you to disobey God is an enemy. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Verse 8, therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Again, do it now. This isn't something you plan up for in the future. You do it now. The best way to guarantee obedience in the future is to obey now. Obey now. That ye may be strong Obey God now that you may be strong. Doesn't mean that circumstances may not be unfavorable, but if you obey God in unfavorable circumstances, there's strength. You shall be strong and go in and possess the land, talking about Canaan, whither ye go to possess it. Again, when they got to Canaan, they would face, of course, Jericho. There would be powerful enemies that they must overcome. And God is telling them, obey me. When you come upon the enemy, obey me that you may be strong. Strong enough to go in and possess the land. Which is a promise, of course, that the enemy will be defeated, because you're not going to possess the land unless the enemy is defeated. So there's strength in obedience. Verse 22. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. This expands on this obedience. There's love to God. There's a walking in his ways. How do we continue to walk in his ways? We continue to love him. We love him so much that we cleave to him. We do not let go, that we do not put a distance between ourselves and God. That's the way to stay obedient, is to cleave to God. You put a separation between you and God, you are now in trouble. You are now headed down a wrong road. When he says, cleave to me, what he's saying is, you do not allow separation between me and you. You do not allow that. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. So we see several things here also. Again, we're to keep his commandments. We're to keep them before us. He's going to speak to us, and he's going to give us directives. He's going to tell us what to do. And when he does, we're to obey his voice. And in doing so, we serve him. And again, if you want to continue to do this, cleave unto him. See, the devil would have us to believe that just a slight distance between us and God isn't going to hurt anyone. There's nothing more false than that. Every distance between us and God is harmful to us and beyond. Verse 18, when thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep all his commandments which I command thee. Now notice, when thou shalt hearken, that is, pay attention to the voice of the Lord. Now why would they pay attention to the voice of God? To keep all his commandments. God speaks. We've already seen that. His voice. We're to obey his voice. When we hear that voice, we're to hearken. That is, we're to give full attention. Why? So that we can keep his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. It doesn't matter if it's right in our eyes. All that matters is that it's right in God's eyes. Because I guarantee you, people will say all the time, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. As if to say, if I don't see anything wrong with it, then it can't be wrong. I'm above God. But again, what matters is that which is right in God's eyes, that which is wrong in God's eyes. Chapter 17, verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, talking about the law of God, Why should he read the law for us, the Word of God? Why should he read this all the days of his life? That. He's about to give us the reason. We're to read it all the days of our life, that he may learn to fear the Lord. If we have to learn something, it's not natural. It's not instinct. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. You and I have to be taught, and the best teacher is God, using his word. We have to be taught to fear the Lord. We do this, once we fear the Lord, once we learn this, to keep all the words of his law and these statutes in order to do them. So once again, you see there's a very specific order. Chapter 26, verses 16 through verse 18. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. May I say that's true every day? This day the Lord thy God commandeth thee. That's true every day of the week. This day God commands us. God tells us what to do. God tells us what not to do. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Nothing haphazard here. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken, pay attention, unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou should keep all his commandments. Chapter 27, verse 1. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Chapter 28, verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Chapter 29 and verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. And then in chapter 30, verse 16. Chapter 30, verse 16. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Talking again of Canaan. But notice here, I command thee this day. That's true every day. This day. Doesn't matter what day it is, it's this day. Every day we are commanded to love the Lord. To love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. And this results in the blessed life. You see, the blessed life is living life in obedience to God's word. That's our experience. Every child of God ought to know by experience what it means to obey. That should not be a strange concept to a child of God. That should not be something unusual to a child of God. That should be their life. Yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we're going to stumble. But the child of God has his heart stirred by God. And once we stumble, we are stirred to repent and to get back on track so that we can continue to live our life in conformity to the Lord. So concerning this, notice in verse 31 of Psalm 119, the psalmist puts it another way. Psalm 119, verse 31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. That is, I'm fixed upon them. It ought to be true of our lives. We are fixed upon God's Word. We're fastened there. Our lives are fastened to the Word of God. Our lives are attached to the principles and the ways of God. I am stuck. That's a good place to be stuck. Stuck unto thy testimonies. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Again, we don't put a distance between us and God's Word. And again, this is the experience. This is not an occasional thing. This is the experience of the blessed life. He declares it another way in verse 102. He says, I have not departed from thy judgments. And the reason being is, for thou hast taught me. For thou hast taught me. I have not departed from thy judgments, from thy truths. The reason is, thou hast taught me, thou hast illuminated me, thou hast enlightened me. So here the psalmist states that one of the reasons for living life in obedience to God's Word is the experience of being illuminated, of being enlightened. We need to practice what we know. Too many people are interested in what they don't know. Practice what you know. And when you practice what you know, God will show you something else. God will illuminate you. God isn't going to give you a truth. You cast that truth into the trash can, and then He's going to give you some more. You live the truth that God has given you. And He illuminates, and He enlightens us. And when He does that, that creates in us a desire for the ways of God. An individual who's been enlightened by God, an individual who's been illuminated by God, now has a desire for the ways of God. That individual wants to live in the ways of God. Again, people will say all the time, they're living in disobedience, and they'll say, I know. No, you don't know. Because if you knew, you wouldn't do it. That's just a way to push it off, hoping to shut the person up that's talking to you. That's all that is. Psalm 86, verse 11. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. The result of that is, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Notice Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Today, people only want instruction that makes them happy. If it doesn't put a smile on their face, I don't want to hear it. Take fast hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Don't put a distance between you and what God has taught you. Keep her, that is instruction. And then notice what it says. For she is thy life. It'll save your life being taught of God. It'll save you many a misery being taught of God. Being taught of God enables us to see matters more clearly. It enables us to know things more surely. And then such, of course, is manifested in the life that we live. So being taught of God is a motivator to being obedient to God. Faith also is a motivator to living life in obedience to God's Word. Hebrews 11, verse 8, it was by faith that Abram obeyed God. Sometimes you just have to exercise faith in order to obey God. Because every other voice is telling you, this isn't going to work. But you obey God. Simply because God said so. Simply because, again, it gets back to who He is. It's not a matter of, is this going to work? That's not how you're to think. What's going to benefit me the most here? Let's weigh all the options. That's wrong thinking. That's carnal thinking. Faith says, God said to do this. Everybody else is telling me to do something else. My circumstances are telling me to do something else. My own reason is telling me to do something else. But God's telling me to do this, and I'm trusting Him, and this is what I'm going to do. It takes faith to obey the Lord. I've talked to many saved people trying to reach a decision on some matter, and they do not think any differently than a lost person. They, two columns, positives and negatives. That's carnal. None of it matters. None of it matters. The only thing that matters is, what does God want? That's all that matters. And that is all positive. There's no negative there. It'll be good for you. Well, this gives us more money over here, or this does this, or this does that. That's carnal reasoning. You're not thinking any differently than a lost person. And if that's your habit to think that way, then you have every reason to examine whether or not you are lost. If that is your habit, that is your lifestyle, to always think that way, then you have every reason, or you should have, to examine, am I saved? Because I don't think spiritually. So, faith, love to God, of course, is a motivator in obedience. John chapter 14, we're almost done. John chapter 14, very familiar verses of Scripture. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments, that's you and I, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. In other words, there will be fellowship between God and us. Disobedience breaks fellowship. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Doesn't say he's likely to, it says he will. If a man truly loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. What that means is God will manifest his love toward that person. Again, it's fellowship. And we will come unto him, me and the Father, Holy Spirit also, I believe, and make our abode with him. Now, you want to talk about a blessed life, there it is. God comes unto us and makes our abode, and makes his abode with us. So a life of obedience is a life of communion and friendship with God. That should be our life. Our life should be a life of communion with God. A life of friendship with God. God is our friend. And we see that Abraham was called the friend of God. What a testimony. Did Abraham have failures? Yes, he had plenty of them. But overall, he manifested himself to be a friend of God. And that's who we ought to want to be friends with. Amen. Friends of God. Why be friends with the enemies of God? We ought to desire the friendship of those who are friends with God. So, oh, how wonderful the experiences of this blessed life. We'll continue next week. Brother Tim, if you